So special to me, special to my family. He's been a lot to my mom, my dad, my sister, and I, and now my family. And, you know, just over 25 years ago, on a Friday night, he was preaching in Norlina, North Carolina. Why on earth anybody go to Norlina? I still ain't figured it out. But he did, and I'm thankful that he did. And he preached, and I learned how to preach time-wise from him, because it was about 9:45 when he was on his second point. And I just remember, I couldn't tell you a thing he said that night, but I know this: the Word of God and the Spirit of God got a hold of my heart, and it changed me that night. And I wouldn't want it to go back. Would not want it to go back. So that is the man that's going to come and preach. How old are you this year? How old are you this year, brother?
39.
And a little bit more, right? He is in his 80s, and he's got more energy than Nate. And so I ain't going to hold him back any longer. Earl, come preach. Share God's love with us, and we're glad to have you.
Love you, man. God bless you. Wow! Are we in heaven this morning? Gracious me, what a service. Wow! I was in a foreign country a few weeks ago, and I didn't know it could get any better. I was in West Virginia. But boy, this morning, wow! I'll tell you, young people, gracious me! Didn't they ring a bell this morning? Give them another hand. I'll tell you, wow, what an opening this morning. Gracious me. I'll tell you, I was just thinking, preacher, after I get old enough to retire, I'm liable to move in this area, so I'll just join this church. But, boy, look at the future of this church up here. Boy, God has been good. Amen? Wow. The Lord has blessed this church so much. And what singing. Gracious. I'll tell you somebody else there. Boy, I'll tell you, the preacher's wife got some moves, too. Did y'all see her? I mean to say, she was getting with them this morning. When I was in Haiti a while back, they just broke out and dancing and praising God and having a good time. And my wife said, well, what did you do? I said, I got right in the middle of them, and I was dancing with every one of them. You know what? Isn't it good when you can go to church and have a good time and enjoy it? The three of you have. Isn't it a good time when you can go to church and praise God? I'll tell you, this is so special this morning. I mean it. Boy, I'll tell you, if you can't enjoy this morning, I don't believe that you've ever been in the honey bucket. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's a sweet, sweet spirit here. Preacher, you've had me here now for a number of years, but I'll say, I feel the power and the presence of God this morning more than I ever have since I've been coming. I mean, wow. I'll tell you, boy, the soccer team, wasn't that great what they did? Give them a hand. Praise the Lord. I get old enough, I'm going to try to get on that team, too. But it is good. Good spirit here this morning. This is the house of the Lord. Homecoming, that's always a special time. But you know, one day, friend, one day very soon, there's going to be a lot of people that's going to miss what we're experiencing here today. Do you realize if a person's never been saved, they're not going to experience all of this? It's not going to be a homecoming for them. It's going to be a very, very sad, sad time. I want to bring a message this morning. It's about you. It's all about me. It's about all of us. And you know, it's right from the Word of God. What I like about this so much, God tells us His plan. He tells us what He has planned. He tells us about a journey. He tells us, really, who's going to be there in His house and who's not. And, you know, I love this book. And you know, after you leave today, you will never be able to say, God, I didn't know what you had planned. You will know God's plan. And that's the reason I love the Bible so much. There's only one thing God cannot do. Titus 1:2 says he cannot lie. So it's true. And God, the other thing God wants you to know, he loves you. He loves you more than anything in this world. And he wants each one of us to spend eternity with him in heaven. And you know, this morning, I want you, if you would, to bow with me, because I'm going to talk about three groups this morning. Number one, I'm talking about that group that the Bible says getting ready to leave. And whoa, what a day that is going to be. And you know, the Bible said it could happen at any moment. And I don't know what some of you are thinking. Preach, if you don't hurry up and get and start preaching, he might come before you get finished preaching today. That'll be okay too, amen? But there is that group. And thank the Lord. Now, he tells us that this group is they're on a narrow road. And he says it's only going to be a few that really find it. But then there's another group that he talks about. And this is a group that's been deceived. They've believed a lie. They believe many, many things that is not in the Word of God. But then, watch it. Then there's a large group that's being left behind. The left behind group. Wouldn't it be terrible to be left behind and not be able to go to heaven? I can't think of anything any worse than that. So this morning, let's look at that first group. Let's take our Bibles and go to a very familiar passage of Scripture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and I'd like to read verses 16 through 18. And I know that you're familiar with this if you're a church member. If you're saved, you are very familiar with that. Thank you for standing. The rest of you, would you join us? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 16. Are you there? All right. Can you hear me? All right. Have you got your ears open? All right. Now listen to what the Word of God says. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Woo, glory. I got to stop that just for a moment. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming with a shout. Amen. He's not going to send Abraham. He's not going to send Paul. He's not going to even send Peter. Jesus himself is coming back. And now listen to what else that he tells us. Look where he's coming. He's descended from heaven with a shout. The voice of an archangel, the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Ha, ha. Woo, glory. You know what? Sometime I'm preaching a funeral. I'll be out in the middle of a cemetery, and I just can't imagine the ground shaking a little bit. And all at once, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Yeah. Then we which remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And all God's people said, amen, amen. That could happen at any moment. Now, it is so special we'll ever be with the Lord. Now, he says that comfort, that word means encourage. Encourage each one, because that day is going to happen. And you know what? It could happen at any time. Jesus tells us through the gospel, when you see these things, know one thing. Time is near, even at the door. Woo! We're going to be looking at those this week. Now, again, let's go to them in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege to be in your house this morning. Our hearts have been blessed, Lord, by the singing, by the sweet fellowship. And now, Lord, we are asking that you speak to us through your word this morning and for everything you'll do today. God, we'll give you glory and praise. Lord, no doubt, Father, there are people in our midst today, they don't know they got a home in heaven. But God, today they can. And I'm praying this is going to be the hour that, Lord, thy names would be written on heaven's roll tonight, today. So, Lord, speak to us now. We want to hear from you. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. As I look at other scripture, look right across the page at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and chapter 2, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. I believe tonight, today, that you will remember this message. You might not remember who preached, and that's not important. But I believe today, when you go home, you'll remember this. I believe when you wake up in the morning, you will remember the scriptures that we are going to look at, because it affects us all. It's God's plan. It's going to happen just exactly like the Bible said that it would. Now look with me at that one verse of scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. The Bible says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except that come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. When I read that verse of scripture, I think of my daddy. My daddy was 80 years old before he ever got saved. My daddy, after he had retired from his job, he started a little repair shop. He just loved to piddle. He loved to fix up lawnmowers. And what he would do for all of the widows that their husbands had passed, he would work on that lawnmower and wouldn't charge them a thing. He was just glad to do something. If there was a need in the community, he was there to help meet that need. The preacher came to see him one day. I'll never forget that. And the preacher told him, he said, Mr. Clarkson, you are a good man. You do all of these good things. You fix the lawnmowers up. You don't charge. You are helping everybody. Mr. Clarkson, I know you're going to make heaven. And you know, my daddy told me that. And I said, you know, Daddy, I can't find it in the Word of God where if you fix somebody's lawnmower, you go to heaven. I can't find in the Word of God if you help somebody that has a need. But I can find in the Word of God that we're all sinners, Romans 3:23. I can find in the Word of God, Romans 6:23, where it says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I can find in the Word of God that if a man be saved, born again to the family of God, that his past can be forgiven and he can go to heaven. And you know, my daddy lived many, many years believing that he was all right. Why? He had been deceived. He said, I had a preacher tell me that because I fix mowers up, because I do this, that I will go to heaven. And I remember so well when daddy was 80 years old and I went, God laid him on my heart, you go one more time. And I remember going to that little garage where he fixed up lawnmowers and helped people. And I went and I closed the door. And he had an open sign and a closed sign. And I put closed sign. I wasn't going to let anybody come in there. God had sent me. God had sent me with a message. And I remember taking the Word of God and showing my daddy, you can't go to heaven any other way except through the Lord Jesus Christ, through Calvary, what he had done for you. And I remember daddy said, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. I said, daddy, you need to be saved. Daddy said, I want to be. And old daddy knelt down right there in that garage and called on Jesus that day to be his savior. My daddy was a hard man, a rough man. But for the first time I'd ever seen my daddy cry, my daddy cried. My daddy hugged me, and I hugged my daddy. And you know, I think about that so often, because daddy, if he had died before he got saved, he would be in hell right now. Friend, let me tell you, this is what the Word of God is saying. Don't be deceived. Don't let anybody deceive you. Now watch it. This is a great verse. He said, by enemy, for that day shall not come. Did you get that? That day shall not come except that come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed of perdition. Now, what he is saying here is very important. There is a day that is coming, but this day is not going to come until the rapture of the church. We are out of here. Then this day will come. Then the Antichrist will come. So he's not coming until the church is raptured out, until the Holy Spirit is taken out. Then he can come and he will rule this old world for 7 years. Friend, that can happen very soon, but it's not going to happen until the church is caught up and we're out of here. That's the reason I'm looking forward for him to come at any time. We are seeing signs. We are seeing the evil. Look what just happened in Pittsburgh. What, yesterday? Look what is happening all around. I've never seen anything that God is doing like he is doing now and warning people. Listen, I live in a little village called Elon. You said, well, why in the world is that? Is that in the United States? Yeah. We got a big population. If everybody is there at the same time, we might have 200 people. I've never seen a traffic jam. One time, my wife and I, we were getting ready to go. I had to preach at a church there, and we had to wait for 5 cars. I said, first time we've ever had a traffic jam in Ailen. You know, the people in Ailen are this way. They're good people. They do a lot of good works. Most of them not saved. They, if you talk to the little village in Ailen where we live, they will tell you, look at these beautiful mountains around. We are protected by the mountains. Well, we are protected in this little village. They'll tell you that. But a few months ago, I was preaching a revival in North Carolina. My wife called me. She says, there's a tornado coming through. And the tornado took down 60-some homes. It blew down trees everywhere. I asked my wife when she called. I said, where are you? She said, I'm in the basement. She said, I'm praying. I said, you want me to come home right now? She said, no. She said, but just stay on the line and pray for me. I did. And all at once, I noticed that she was crying. I said, why are you crying? She said, these tears of joy. She said, the tornado came right up to our backyard, and then it went over top of our house and never did take a shingle off. That'll make a Baptist preacher shout. God did that. God did that. We serve a mighty God, friend. And that mighty God's desire that you and I spend eternity in heaven. Now watch this. Watch this. I feel like preaching this morning. Them kids got me fired up. Thank you. Thank you. Now look what he says. After that, after the rapture, then there come a falling away. We're already seeing a tad of that now. Amen? And then there's going to be a big falling away. And then the son of perdition is going to be revealed. That's the Antichrist that he's talking about. Ooh. That's going to be a horrible day. But look what the Word of God has to say in verse 5. Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. You know what I believe if Jesus was standing right here today? You know what I believe he would say? Church, I have told you. I'm coming back. Church, I have told you that there's going to be a call away. Church, I have told you and warned you. Get ready. Get ready. Now, I want to move from that thought into the left behind group. There'll be a lot of people. And I asked before I even get into that, are you going to be left behind? Because a lot of people are going to be left behind. What will it be like to be left behind? I'm glad you asked me. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. Let's go to Revelation chapter 9. Give your undivided attention, friend, because this is what it's going to be like right here, in this area. It's going to be like this all across the land, all across Virginia, all across the world. This is what it's going to be like once the church is raptured out, and then the evil Satan and Antichrist get a hold to this world. Now listen, chapter 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there rose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason, and from the smoke of the pit. Now look at verse 3. There came out of the smoke locusts unto the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power, like demons. Verse 4. And it was commanded them they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green things, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. Don't miss that. That's a powerful verse of Scripture. And it's going to happen right here on the face of this earth. Now watch it. What do you think would happen right now if the lid of hell was lifted off? It's going to be one day. It's going to be one day. And he says the key of the bottomless pit. The bottomless pit. That's where every evil thing is. That's where demons are. That's where evil spirits are. That's where fallen angels are. The bottomless pit. Picture with me. What is he talking about? It's almost like a shaft that goes down. That shaft is taken off. And then all at once, once it's taken off. Now, friend, this is not a fairy tale. This is what's going to happen when the church is raptured out and when the Holy Spirit is not here. This is exactly what's going to happen right here on the face of this earth. I'm glad I'm with that first group. Ha ha! Woo! Glory! I'm glad I'm not going to be here. If you're lost, you're going to be here. If you've been deceived, you're going to be here. So we'd better give our undivided attention. Now look what else. It was open. And look what. The smoke came out. God tells us about what hell is going to be like. A fire burning with brimstone. Darkness. Pit. Screaming. Torment. And the smoke actually drowned out the sun and the moon. Darkness. Terrible time. But look what else said it, that it happens. But look at verse 3. And that came out of the smoke, locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass nor the earth, but those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Now watch here. I did quite a study on scorpions. I did quite a study on what the scripture is talking about here. These, they call them locusts, but they don't take the appearance of a locust. They take the appearance of a scorpion. And when we see there was great power given to the tail. And what they will do, they're going to be stinging men. And it is going to be a pain like no one other than Jesus ever endured. It's going to be so bad. I even did more study. And it says what this will cause, actually the blood vessels and people being will explode and swell and bring such great pain like they have never known before. Whew, that's bad enough. But look at verse 5 and 6. And to them it was given that they should not kill, but that they should be tormented. How long? 5 months. And the torment was a torment of a scorpion, and when he striketh a man. Look at verse 8. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Woo! Friend, can you imagine what a terrible time that's going? It's going to be so much pain and so much torment and what's going on this earth. And men are going to seek death, but death will flee from them. They cannot find it. Have you ever been around somebody that was lost and they were in so much pain they wanted to die? I can only think of one. And a man prayed, asked me, "Preacher, pray to die, that death will come. Death will come." And I said, "I can't do that. You're not saved." "But preacher, I want to die." And you know, I tried my best to lead that man to Christ. But he refused. He refused. He said, "No, no, no, I'm not ready. No, I'm not ready." And he was screaming out. My granddaddy was lost. I was a little boy. My daddy was lost. My daddy took me. He said, "We got to go see granddaddy. He's dying." Granddaddy was a sheriff there in one of the counties. He never had time for God. He's always, "Not for me, not for me." But now he is on his deathbed. And he is screaming. And he is saying, "I'm not prepared to die. I need the Lord." I couldn't tell him. I was a young boy. My daddy couldn't tell him. He was lost. His wife couldn't tell him. And he died screaming, lost. People are going to try to find death, but they cannot. Look with me in verse 13. "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates." They have been bound. They have been on hold. They've been waiting for this time. You know about the Euphrates River. It's in the Persian Gulf. Look at verse 15. "And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay 1/3 part of who? Of a man, of people. 1/3 of people will be slain, will die during this time. Judgment is coming. Let me chase this rabbit a little bit. Can I do that? What happened yesterday in that Jewish synagogue? Do you think God's not going to judge that? You think God's not going to judge that? Do you think God is not going to judge all of the murders that's going on in our land today? Do you think God is not going to judge the hatred that's in our land today? Do you think God is going to wink at all of that and say, "Okay, it's all right"? No, it's not all right. The wages of sin is death. It's punishment. And you know what? We can just sit back and say, "Oh, it's not going to happen." Yes, it's going to happen. Not because this preacher said it, but because Almighty God says that in His Word. That's the reason it's going to happen. But, oh, it doesn't stop there, does it? No. And in verse 16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000 thousands, and I heard the number of them. You know what he's talking about? 200 million. Where are they coming from? Many of them are going to come out of the pit. Demons. Yes, I know China and some of the others can probably muster close to that. But I'll tell you what. This army that's coming out of the pit of demons and hell of beings, it's going to be terrible here. I'm glad. Thank God I'm saved. I'm glad my family is saved. Thank God. People ask me all the time, good day, at your age, why do you keep preaching? Why do you go? I started the 1st of March, and I have not had a week off since then. And I'll go right on through December. Why do you do it? I'll tell you why I do it. I do it because there's a judgment day coming, and lost people go to hell, and saved people can go to heaven. That's why I preach. That's exactly why I preach. And it's going to happen. It's a terrible thing to be left behind. Now, I'm about ready to close. I see two or three of your stomachs are growling, so I'm with you. I got the message, okay? But I want you to look at two verses of Scripture I don't understand. And yet, I guess I should. It's in that same chapter. After what we've preached, and there was a lot more we didn't preach that's still there. But I want to share with you the last two verses in that chapter. Verse 20. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. America is there. If you look closely at those sins, we are guilty of many land today. But what does the Bible say? They repented not. They repented not. They were not sorry for their sin. Is America sorry for its sin? No. No, America's not sorry for its sin. Look at verse 21. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thefts. We are guilty of all four of those sins today. Murder is everywhere. It's everywhere. When I was a boy, we never heard anybody getting murdered. Had a lot of fist fights. A lot of people got beat up. Nobody would shoot anybody. Nobody would shoot anybody. Today, they shoot them. They kill them. For no reason. I live in close to Lynchburg, Virginia. People say, well, that's where LU is. Yeah, that's where LU is. That's it. And also they make treatments for hemorrhoids, as Jerry Falwell used to say. That's what we're known for. But I'll tell you one thing. America is guilty of all of those sins. Witchcraft. When I was in Haiti, we'd see witches. They were practicing witchcraft. It's in our land today. It's here today. Listen, I'm in a different church every week, in a different town every week, and I see every one of these sins. Fornication, oh my Lord, There's adultery. There's open sex. There's men marrying men, women marrying women. And we are there. If God punished these people for this, if God punished Sodom and Gomorrah, will He not punish the United States? It's the only way. It's on the way. We could go on. Friend, don't only listen. I beg you. I beg you. I'll get down on my knees if it will help. I beg you. Don't go through this. You don't have to. You don't have to. You can get saved right here this morning. You can, watch this, watch here. You can have your name written down this morning in the Lamb's Book of Life. The price has been paid for. It's been paid. Your sins have been paid for at Calvary. You can't add a thing to that. Only thing that you can do is accept by faith the finished work of Jesus Christ on Calvary. That's all we got to do. I led a man to the Lord, 90 years old. And he said, "Preacher, now what do I need to do?" I said, "You don't need to do anything. The price has been paid. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by Him." Repent. What does the Bible say? We just said, no man did what? Repent. Do you realize once that we repent, that guilt is taken away? That sin has been forgiven? Once that we repent and receive Christ into our hearts, our life, whoo, you don't get over it. Mine happened in February of 1960. You say, "Why are you bouncing?" I'm looking for the rapture anytime. I'm getting ready. Friend, I'll tell you, it's nothing that anybody that knowing you got a home in heaven. Thank you for the motel y'all put me up in. I walked up to the desk. I said, "I'm Reverend Earl Clarkson." She looked and looked. She said, "Yeah. We've been expecting you." Woo! I said, "Yeah, I'm here." "I'm here." She said, "I see you got reservations right here." I said, "Yes, ma'am." I said, "I got a reservation somewhere else, too." Woo! "Yeah, I got reservations in heaven." "Well, that sure was nice." I said, "How about you?" "Well, I hope I, oh, Lord, don't give me no hope stuff. Don't give me that. You can know. You can know." "Well, when you start talking about Jesus, you know how you get a crowd? They all were coming up giving me this, you know. They wanted to hear just exactly what I was saying." What an opportunity. The only thing I missed, I didn't get a chance to take up offering. Friend, let me tell you, the greatest thing in this world is telling people about Jesus. There's nothing any better. And you know, today, this can be the greatest day of your life. You can know that you know that you know that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And if it's not, you're not going to make it. Now, I know this is a great church. It is. If I lived in this community, it's where my membership would be. I'd be here. But I'm not telling you to join this church. I'm telling you and begging you to give your heart to Jesus today. Would you do that? Would you do that? No one's going to come to you or drag you down the aisle or pull you here or that. We're not going to do that. But we will do this. We'll love you to death. And we'll welcome you right into the family of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Let me ask a question. Do you know for sure you got a home in heaven? Can you go back like I can to a time and a place that, thank God, I got saved? I know it. My life has changed. I know I'm a new creature in Christ. Preacher, I'm ready. If he comes right now, I know I've got a home in heaven. Can you say that? If you can say that, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you can say that, lift your hand up and say, Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you may take them down. Now, there were some that couldn't. Thank you for being honest. You didn't lie to God. You didn't lie to yourself. But you don't know that. But, friend, God wants you to know it. God wants you in heaven. You don't have to go through hell. You don't have to go through on this earth down here what I preached on this morning. You can be caught up with that same group. Would you do that this morning? Right where you seated, would you give your heart to Jesus today? He said, Preacher, I sure will. I want to. I don't want to go to hell. I want to make sure I got a home in heaven. Right where you're seated this morning, would you pray a simple prayer, not to me, but to Jesus? Jesus loves you, and he wants you there with him. Right where you're seated, would you pray a simple prayer? Pray it silently, but pray it sincerely. Would you say, Lord Jesus, I don't want to miss heaven. I want to make sure I've got a home in heaven. And Lord, today, I repent of my sins. I'm asking you right now, Lord, forgive me for all of my sins. I'm asking you right now, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Save me and give me a home in heaven. And Lord Jesus, from this day forward, help me to live for you. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Bible says, let the redeemed say so. And if you prayed that prayer and you said, Preacher, I prayed it and I meant it with all my heart, would you just lift your hand up and take it right back down? Just yes, I see one, I see two, I see three, who else? I see at least three. Who else? Who else? I don't want to miss you. I don't want to miss you. Just slip it up. Let me see it. Take it right back down. Yes, I see that. And over here, I see it. To God be glory. To God be glory. If you raised your hand, I'm not going to come. But if you raised your hand in your minute, would you just raise your head and look at me? Did you mean it this morning? Did you mean it over here, son? Did you mean it this morning? Did you mean that this morning? Did you mean that this morning? I think it was one more. I don't want to miss you. Just as I am. People are damaged just a moment. In a few minutes, we're going to have a lot of people going to be coming for prayer. I would just like so much to pray with you. Could I do that? Thank you. Could I pray with you later? Thank you. Could I pray with you? Thank you. I'm going to ask this morning. I'm going to ask. How many is here this morning? You said, Preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning. I'm saved, but I need a closer walk with Jesus. Would you just slip your hand up? Right where you are. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So many, so many. God bless you. Now, one last question, and then we're going to stand. How many is here today? You got a lost family. You got some children that's lost. And you are thinking about how terrible it would be for them to have to go through, Preacher, what you preached on this morning. Do you care enough to pray for them? Do you care enough to pray? If you do, hold your hand. Just lift it up all over the building. Praise God. I'm going to ask you. We're going to stand. I'm going to ask if you got your hand up or if you didn't. Let's come up here and make a roll right across the front this morning. Let's call that name out to Jesus this morning. Let's ask God to do a work. And now if you've prayed and asked the Lord to save you, come to me. I want to have prayer with you, all right? Come, let me have prayer with you this morning. God bless you. God bless you. Would you come this morning? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Did you mean that this morning? Did you mean that this morning? I want you to know.